The BC government has agreed to reopen a residential treatment center in Carrimias. The Crossing at Carrimias treated young people with mental health and addiction problems, and it closed abruptly last March following disagreements between the former operator and the province. Well, since then, supporters have been pushing to get it open again. Jennifer Johnston is the president and CEO of Central City Foundation. It's the charitable organization that owns the building that housed the Crossing. She's on the line with us this morning. Also in our studio is Dr. Richard Hooper, whom we interviewed a number of times when the Crossing first closed. Dr. Hooper is the former vice chair of the Crossing at Carrimias. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Jennifer, we'll start with you. What happened after the Crossing closed last year? What happened immediately behind the scenes?
Meetings began immediately, conversations about how we could get a new program established there. At the time, we were talking about how can we have a made-in-BC solution that will be sustainable and serve the children and families in British Columbia as soon as possible.
And we did hear at the time from the province about the need for those beds. Dr. Hooper, what was it like for you to hear that after more than a year, the Crossing would, in fact, reopen?
Oh, it was amazing, I think, for everyone who's been involved. And let me say right at the very beginning, Jennifer's being humble. She, I think, rolled up her sleeves and is probably working within a half hour of things closing, and she has been tenacious in terms of getting it up and going. But it's extraordinary to see that this facility is going to reopen.
You've been in touch with families who need these services. What kinds of stories have you heard?
Well, you hear the same story every time. These families are lying awake at night, not knowing where their youth or their young adolescents are. They know they have a problem with mental health and substance abuse. A substantial portion of them are so-called co-occurring disorder individuals who have both problems. And these families, for a short period of time, well, for the 3 years that the Crossing was open, knew they had a resource that they could turn to and where their children would be safe as they were treated with an unprecedented success rate, well over 80%. Similarly, in a surrounding which was completely safe, an unblemished record of safety. And now those kids have been back on the street. The families have been lying awake at night. Thank God with Jennifer's work, we now see light on the horizon, and that resource will be back up and running.
And we knew there was a need for more beds even before the Crossing closed, and then certainly after the Crossing closed. And Jennifer, I'm curious why the Crossing had to close in the first place. Why couldn't these negotiations have gone on to restructure the services that were being delivered without taking the services away from families who needed it?
You know, I'm not the one to answer that. I think that's going to be an answer from the health ministry or the health authority. Certainly, our perspective was that the facility continued to be ready to go, and that there were and still are today organizations in BC who will step up in order to find a new solution. You know, the breakdown in the relationship between the operator and the province was outside our purview, but certainly. Our perspective then and now is we can find an operator in British Columbia who can provide excellent evidence-based care for young people and begin saving lives again immediately. The next steps for us now are an RFQ, to get that right, a request for qualifications is being developed. I have a meeting about that shortly after this telephone call this morning. And then once that is posted, we'll begin to see the kinds of the wide variety of organizations in British Columbia who'd like to step up and begin to offer this service again.
Dr. Hooper, one of the problems we hear about time and time again on this issue is kids who age out of the system, meaning they turn 18 or 19 and the services that were available to them suddenly disappear. I understand that there will be a different age group served by whatever happens at the Crossing, between 17 and 24 years old, as opposed to 14 to 18. What do you think of that change?
Well, there's nothing magical about the age. It was our understanding all along that it's a regulation, at least within this health authority, if not in the province, that you can't mix those two groups, youth and adolescents, from that broader spectrum, though the original plan always was to have a second facility that would house the older group of individuals, the ones who are now going to be going to the new Crossing, as I suppose it will be called. there's nothing magical about those saying that at 25 you quit, or in the past at 16 or 17 you're no longer qualified. In fact, we did have some individuals above the previous age limit. What we did with those was they went back, some of them at least, to Ontario and Quebec, where Portage operated facilities there and in the Maritimes. But once they had gone through the initial part of the program, were completely stable and continuing with the program, then they were brought back. So, you know, some kids turned that age when they were there, some just were over the age, but they weren't turned away for a small age gap. I had one client who was actually the child of a senior health authority administrator who, in that circumstance, who we stabilized first and then brought back into the program. So this happened.
Ms. Johnson, you say you'll be working on the RFQ, which I suppose is the first step in having an operator contract. I'm curious what you would like to see in that RFQ.
Well, what we're hoping for is a model similar to the one that was in place for 6 years, you know, and helped almost 400 young people in BC. And it's a model based, it's a strength-based model based using what we call a therapeutic community approach. So it's really about beginning, helping young people recover not just their health, but their lives and their dreams and their connections to their families in this community setting. And so we're hoping to see those kinds of parameters included in this request for qualifications to find a group who will then also make the kinds of connections. You know, one of the reasons why the program succeeded was the amazing community in Carameas. And I have to say, I can't say enough about the support that the people in Carameas provided to the program. And my understanding is that people are waiting for it to reopen and are willing to volunteer again. And so, you know, from the school district to an arts program and recreational programs and vocational training, all of those things we are hoping to see eventually reestablished as part of this program, in addition to the treatment program the health ministry will fund at the core of it.
And Dr. Hooper, will you be involved in whatever happens at the crossing?
Oh, I don't know that. Nobody's approached me to ask about that. I think all of the members of the former board, there are only, I think, three or four of us left now, have said from the beginning we'd be happy to offer whatever services we might, but that's up to government to decide. I suspect they'll want a new team. Important to emphasize what Jennifer just said. The program is not just a local program, getting kids off their drugs and back into school and so on, but nearly 90% went back to school or training program, half got a job when they completed the program at a time when employment is difficult to come by everywhere. The program was successful not just in terms of getting children off their drugs and their addiction and dealing with their mental health issues, but also in getting back into the community, into school, into work. And Jennifer's completely right. Hopefully the new program will provide that as well.
We'll be watching to see how it unfolds. Ms. Johnson, Dr. Hooper, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us this morning.